Hello.
Hello, is this Ashley Young?
Hi.
Hi, Ashley, it's James again from MMA Legal. You okay?
Hi.
Good to hear. Unfortunately, I do just have to do data protection again. Confirm for me, please, your date of birth.
4/10/1984.
Yeah, and your postal address?
FK27UG.
Yeah, and could you just confirm for me your mobile number or your email address, please?
0770855915.
Fantastic. Just to let you know, the calls are recorded for training and monitoring purposes. So, just following on from before we ended the phone call, this would now be in relation to your final curve setting, which, as I'll state, would be the Good Shepherd Centre.
Yeah, they go make out. It's the vegan and Jack now.
I don't like that.
All right, okay, don't like your brothers and sisters, that's fine. Okay.
So, could you just confirm for me, please, the institutional name, location, approximate dates, age, and who placed you there?
The Good Shepherd Centre. And I was here when I was 14. I don't know. Okay, you put where the radiator is. Okay, right, go and watch cartoons and I'll bring you a drink. Yeah, I'll get you one. So, I went to the Good Shepherd Centre when I was 14.
Yeah? Do you remember who placed you there?
Folk at Census for sure.
No problem. What type of setting was it and how long were you there for, Ashley?
That continue 2 seconds.
Yeah,
well, I'll just do it right. And if I just do it, then that'll go everywhere. That'll go over my floor again, like the last mulberry poured all over my floor. Go watch your cartoons for a bit, and I'll not go home. You're very welcome.
So, what type of setting was it, and how long was you there for?
That was a children's home, and I was there with it.
Did you say you were there until you were 16?
I was 16 in October and I left in January.
And left in the following January. So, in a few sentences, what was ordinary day life like? So we'll start off first with the accommodation.
That was an old convent building.
An old convent building?
Yes. That you're just based at the nuns there. Oh, that was horrifying.
It was horrifying, did you say?
That was a big scary building in the middle of nowhere.
It was in the middle of nowhere.
A wee tiny one wee village. It was one way out and there was one way in. And then, it was horrifying for day one.
With what you just stated, we're going to try and be as meticulous as we can with this one. So try to stay, only answer to the question at hand what's relevant. And then if I feel as though that you're going a bit too far ahead, I'll try and bring you back when there's a moment in your recollection. Just so obviously you don't feel like I'm trying to cut you short or anything like that. Everything what you say will be very imperative. It's just we want to be able to make the notes when it's at the appropriate time to make the notes for that question. Can you remember the if you was provided with any food and clothing, and if it was either adequate or acceptable?
Oh, it was acceptable. It was adequate.
And how was it like for you trying to contact your family at the Good Shepherd Centre?
I was miles away from home. You used to have telephone and things.
There was no telephone.
Yeah, they would give you telephone appointments and stuff, and then if you would make that phone call, they were either too busy to get at that time, or they were dealing with something else. Like, they just were, sometimes they just actually never gave you your telephone contact and stuff. It's probably for all the times it was strange and bounced your head off walls and floors and everything.
So what I've put is, but I was miles away from home. There was only telephone appointments, and when it came to having your phone call, there was always reasons as to why you couldn't use the phone. It was quite strange at times.
Yep. Like, even making contact to it and stuff, like, they would actually just stop it. Or you're punished this week, so you're not getting any contacts, you're not getting your weekends out and stuff.
So I just put that you, like, it would also be used as punishment, so they would take away your phone privileges and weekend visits if you were ever in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
No problem. So the next question would be, how did staff and other children genuinely treat you?
Shut.
Can you recall any form of rules, punishments, isolation, or unsafe arrangements?
Punishment, isolation, locked you in bedrooms, they would lock you in your room, sit outside the room, would restrain you, pinch your heads off walls, flares.
Sorry, you'd be restrained, and what else was you saying?
Oh, like, to the point that my head was getting actually bounced off the floor.
To the point where you could be bounced off the floor.
Like, there's a big fat, big five body sitting on top of you. Like.
And these were members of staff?
Yep. The staff and the teachers were horrible. Because it was a residential school, so the school was actually in the building as well.
Hold on. So you said the staff and teachers were terrible, it was a residential school, so what was in the building?
School.
Oh, so the school was in the building?
Yeah.
Was in the building with the dormitories.
Uh-huh.
Okay. So I just thought that it was shit, punishment, being locked in your room, being restrained to the point where you could bounce off the floor as there were five big members of staff on top of you. The staff and teachers were terrible. It was a residential school, so the school was in the building with the dormitories.
And there's a history teacher, I'm sure his name is Mr. Laffert.
Sorry, the history teacher, did you say?
Yeah.
And the history teacher, what did you recall his name being?
Mr. Laffert.
Mr. Laffert?
Aye. Like that. Laffert. He was a history teacher, and he wouldn't touch you and make you feel really, really uneasy.
He'd touch you and make you feel uneasy.
Mm-hmm.
Without seeming as though I'm trying to pry him for unnecessary information, but when you say he would touch you, can you recall what area of the body would touch you at all?
Oh, he would, like, sit down beside you and he would touch your bum and stuff. Like, it was just pure creepy.
Yeah. So we're going to move on to the next question now, Ashley. And the next question is going to be quite distressing. I'll read out the qualifying factors what Scottish Redress acknowledge as a form of abuse. So we'll go for neglect first. So they consider the qualifying factors of neglect being inadequate or withheld, withholding of food, clothing, warmth, hygiene, supervision, safety, medical care, educational or emotional support, any unsafe confinement or failure to protect you from bullying, violence, sexual harm, older children or unsafe adults. Looking back at your time at the Good Shepherd Centre, is there anything that happened? What would you consider neglect?
Yeah. There's emotional neglect, and there's physical neglect, there's self-harm, there's...
Neglected emotional.
Emotional, physical, sexual abuse, physical abuse.
Okay, no problem. So in relation to the neglect that you experienced, are you able to recall whoever was responsible or involved?
The majority of the staff were all involved.
The majority of staff?
Yeah.
Can you remember any specific people, any names?
Yeah, picture. She was lovely. Her name was Susan. She was nice.
She was nice.
And there was another. There was a couple of women in there that were really nice. Yeah. And I think that was because they had actually went through that same table.
Yeah.
Well, probably that is why they were the way that they were.
Okay. So in relation to the emotional abuse, are you able to recall who was involved and who was responsible for the emotional abuse that you experienced?
The emotional abuse, it would have been the teachers and the staff.
Are you able to recall any of the teachers or staff's names?
There was a man, Stephen, there, and he was an actual cunt.
And Mr. Stevens?
No, I think his name was Stephen.
Oh, his name was Stephen.
Aye. And another man, he had been a fireman at one time, and then he came, I really can't remember their names, man. I can remember what happened, but I can't remember the names. It was mental.
Yeah. When you said there was another teacher, did you say he used to be a fireman?
Yeah.
Or a mechanic? Well,
he was a staff member and he was like a fireman.
Another staff member. And he was a fireman. So when you say he was a fireman, was this a fireman for the local authority or like a given fireman role for in the Good Shepherd Centre?
No, like that was his actual job before they had came there.
Oh, right, yeah. That's fine. So again, it's the same question, but this is now in relation to the emotional abuse that you experienced. Do you remember who was involved or responsible for the emotional abuse that you faced?
The staff.
The staff.
Mm-hmm.
And again, is a part of those members of staff who caused you emotional abuse, was any of them the men called Stevens, or the man who used to be a fireman,
yep.
Were they the... I'll just put the same culprits as above. And again, it's the same question in regards to the physical abuse. Do you recall who was involved or responsible?
Yep.
Yeah. And finally, again, this is just in relation to who was involved and responsible for this. But who was responsible or involved for the sexual abuse that you faced and experienced while you was at Good Shepherd's?
The history teacher.
The history teacher?
Yeah, and the guy, Stephen.
No problem. So we're going to go on to the next question, and the next question is going to be the most distressing part of this witness statement. So now I'm going to try and do the easiest factor first. So if possible, Ashley, are you able to provide one clear example of what happened when you experienced the neglect, that being where and when did it occur? What was happening before you experienced the neglect? What happened during and after the neglect had happened?
During and after, what happened?
This is just in relation to neglect. So neglect being any inadequate or withholding of food, clothing, warmth, hygiene, supervision, safety, medical care, education or emotional support, unsafe confinement or failure to protect from bullying, violence, sexual harm, other children or unsafe adults. With that being said, are you able to give a clear example of the neglect that you faced when you was at Good Shepherd Centre?
Absolutely. I would go with them all because they used to as I said, they were strangers. I remember them looking in this big washroom place.
You remember what, sorry, Ashley? I do apologise for interrupting. Just try to take your time and answer the questions as slowly as possible and try to be clear, because I would not want to try to interrupt you at any point in this stage, but I do need to take the notes. It is very important that I do detail what your experience was. They failed to protect you.
Yeah. They failed to protect me for what was going on. Like taking phone calls and contact away from me and stuff. Like, we walked in this room, it was like a washroom, the tumble dryers.
A loft room?
Yeah, a washroom, where the tumble dryers and the washing machine were. And I remember them walking in there and I really couldn't get out.
Do you remember as to why they locked you? They would lock you in the washroom?
It was only once they said it was an accident.
So they state it was an accident. So do you recall you thinking any differently? And if so, what made you believe that it wasn't an accident as to you being locked into the washroom?
Because they had just restrained me because on the stage I was refused to do any schoolwork. And they just restrained me. And I was to be chosen for home, and I went into that room and it never locked, but it was locked.
So just to make sure I got this right, absolutely, I remember they failed to protect me from what was going on, taking phone calls and contact away from me and staff. They would lock me in a washroom. I had no escape. It was only once, and they stated it was by accident, and it was because I was refusing to do schoolwork. They restrained me, placed me into that room, and it was never locked before, but this time it was locked.
And they would lock me in my room, and they would sit outside the door. So I could make it out.
They sat outside the door so you couldn't get out.
The history teacher was sexually assaulting you. You've been pure not a teacher and just touching you all the time. But at this point, I'm taking heroin in this school, by the way. I've been there a matter of weeks and I'm now taking heroin.
Oh, hold on one moment. I ended up stating what you said about the history teacher, and then I ended up putting within a week of this placement, I fell into taking heroin. So, again, it's going to be the same question of a clear example. So we've taken the neglect off. So now we'll just go from the emotional abuse. Are you able to remember a clear example of what happened when you faced any emotional abuse at Good Shepherd Centre?
Emotional neglect. I was made feel totally and utterly unwanted. I was a child that nobody cared about, nobody wanted, nobody loved. It made me feel like I was an object to them. I wasn't just me, I was just an object to society. Like, and this wasn't just me, the other lasses got this also. It was horrifying.
Do you think you can recall any of the children who you believed went through this as well?
Yeah.
Could you recall any names?
Yeah, there was a lassie, Kelly Ann, there. And she went through the same.
Mom, I promise I will get out of bed.
You still going to go through?
Mom, what?
I'm just going to have this phone call and then I'll be through beside you, okay?
What did you say this girl's name was?
There was a lassie, Kelly Ann.
Kelly Ann?
Yeah.
So,
and
there was another one.
And there was another, wait a minute, and there was another last of the yarn meal. There was just, wait a minute, Edel. Find me the remote and I can do it then.
No, it's okay. Don't worry about it. Just take your time. If you need to do anything, obviously, to make sure that your child is okay, that's perfectly fine. You don't need to apologize. Just let me know when you're ready for the next question, that's all.
There was another last name, I can't remember her name. She jumped through the top floor window, right through the glass.
She
right
jumped through the window?
Yeah, right through the window. She ended up in the hospital in some state, I always wonder what happened if she ever left. There was loads of lassies in there.
Yeah. So next, Ashley, would be the physical abuse. Are you able to provide one clear example of what happened where and when it occurred, what happened before the abuse, during and afterwards?
What happened before? Yeah. Come in and do like a patient confirmation or something. Yeah. Just so that they know they've got everything right. Yeah. But I kind of think, actually, before.
It doesn't matter too much on what was happening before. If you're able to provide a clear example of the abuse, what the physical abuse, what happened, and any information detailing that example, it was perfect. That's perfectly acceptable. It doesn't really matter too much as to what you was doing in that moment before it happened, if you understand what I mean.
Right. So after the teacher would like kind of touch me, I would leave the room, and the teachers and staff would all try to get me to go back to school, go back to class. I didn't want to fucking go anyway.
Yeah.
And then physically they would just come on you and physically drag you to the ground. Really hot, yeah. To the point that I had bruises and stuff, by the way.
Yeah, but just 1 second while I catch up on the notes. Sorry, Ashley. So I just put, after the incident with the history teacher touching me, I'd leave the room and the teachers would try to get me back into the room. They would restrain me and drag me back to the classrooms. They would restrain me to the point where I would end up with cuts and bruises.
Mm-hmm.
Is that, yeah?
Yeah.
So for the final example, take your time when it comes to answering this question. Anything what you fail to remember in relation to this, don't get too worked up. Just try and remember a best possible account that you do have. But if possible, Ashley, are you able to give one clear example of what happened, where and when it occurred, and what happened before, during, and afterwards when you say that you was a victim of sexual abuse?
So, sexual abuse is when you were touching me, and these people were telling me how that I wasn't wanted, that I wasn't loved, why drink I was in care anyway, nobody cared about me, and all that stuff.
And they would tell you this?
Yeah.
Hold on 1 second.
I was amounting to nothing. I was always going to be nothing.
So I've got so far. This was when the history teacher was touching me. They would tell me that I was unwanted and loved, that I would never amount to anything. Are you able to continue?
Yeah.
Is there anything else that you can remember or what you'd like to add on to that?
No.
No.
But what I did was then they turned this round, right?
Did what? Sorry?
Like, then they see at the end of this, they turn all of this round, right, to get you to go back to your class and all of this, all sweet talk and stuff, right? And then I was trying to buy you and buy your love and affection and all that stuff, probably your quietness and all, by saying, you know what, we're going to go to McDonald's, we'll go here, we'll go swimming, we'll go ice skating, we'll go clothes shop, and all that stuff to try and compensate for the bad shit.
Oh, so when you say they tried to like buy your affection, that being to like get back on the side, to obviously say like to make up for what had happened to you.
Mm.
Okay, just hold on.
It was my fault. It was the way I was. I had me on antidepressants the time I was 15.
So the things that they buy, so it was like McDonald's. Did you say clothes?
You can say cute. Or the good things in life that things would make it look any better.
Is there anything to make up for what had happened? I do apologise for having to ask this. When you described the history teacher of him touching you, do you recall as to where he would touch you?
He would touch my bum and shit.
Oh,
If my teacher touched my room from the day I would then be going to leave it further.
Yeah. I do apologise for asking the question. And
no, it's all right. It's being,
I don't want to catch you any distress.
You're horrible fucking people, man.
Yeah. You're not wrong at all. So what I've got for your account of sexual abuse, I just put this was when the history teacher was touching me. He would touch my bum and that. They would tell me that I was unwanted and loved, that I would never amount to anything. They would restrain me to get back to the class. They would then try to buy me McDonald's clothes, take me out somewhere, anything to make up for what had happened. Is there anything that else there that I've missed or you'd like me to word differently?
No.
No? Okay. So, again, this is going to be in relation to all four accounts, what you just gave me of neglect, emotional, physical, and sexual. So, in relation to the neglect, how often did this happen? Over what period? And did it change or become worse?
The whole time I was there.
Yeah.
My whole life became worse after that. Like, totally worse. All this stuff shaped me for the person that I was to turn out to be.
So, I've just put, for neglect, the whole time I was there, my life became worse after that, totally worse. All this has caused me to be who I am today. In relation to that, we will be going into the impact of your life, so don't worry about that. At this moment, it's literally just, we're still in the chronology of being at the Good Shepherd Centre, but we are only four questions away from finishing this part of the witness statement now, so we'll try to get it done as quickly as possible, basically. So would you say that the neglect ended up becoming worse or changing in any way?
Yeah.
And again, Ashley, it's the same question, but this time in relation to the physical abuse. How often would you say that this would happen?
All the time.
Again,
I was always getting restrained. I was always getting restrained for something every day. Every day there was something.
At least every day. And again, do you recall if this ever became worse?
I got worse. I was using heroin daily to this point. I got worse. As soon as I could get away from there, I was gone.
Yeah, so I've just got, again, all the time I was getting restrained, at least every day there was something. It got worse. I was using heroin to deal with I was using heroin to deal with it at this point, so yeah, it got worse. As soon as I was able to get away from there, I was gone.
Mm-hmm.
And again, how often would you say the emotional abuse that you experienced occurred?
Okay.
And again, would you say that it ever changed or became worse? And then finally, Ashley, in relation to the sexual abuse, how often did this happen?
It happened a few times.
And are you able to recall if it ever changed or became worse?
No, it never really changed. It just happened a few times. plenty of lassies to go around.
Sorry, say that again, Ashley.
There'll be plenty of lassies for these people to go around though.
What, that he was inappropriate with as well?
Aye, it wasn't just me. My pal's the man, so she's deep in it. That's been doing her life enough.
But she went there.
Yeah. She died a few years ago.
A few weeks ago, did you say?
She died a few years ago.
Oh, my condolences, Ashley. How close was you with Samantha? Did you know her from?
Oh, she used to bully me, right?
Oh, really?
Way back before I was here. And social worker place, I was on the way, so social work place half in the same place that I was in.
Yeah.
And they become pals after that. And when she died, they were using together and we got to make that mental health before she died.
My condolences to hear that.
The social work actually placed my person, I was like on my list in the same place as me, you know what I mean? Like, so
yeah.
Really? It's like emotional trauma.
Yeah, of course. So, we're moving on to the.
But I didn't blame her, but I actually don't blame her because she was just fucked up with me.
Yeah. It's hard to put yourself in the perspective of somebody else's shoes, and then especially to even think of how you do something different.
Yeah.
One of the things that it's human nature to try and speculate what you would do, but I feel as though nobody truly knows what or how they react when they're in that situation or any situation. Mm-hmm. But at least she was able to confine with Samantha when you was in Kerm, and obviously you knew each other growing up as well. It's at least you had the time together to be able to confide in one another. And so we're going to go into the next question now, Ashley, and it's going to be again in relation to all four factors of the abuse. So just try to answer each one in the best way you can. So that would be in relation to neglect. What immediate effects did you experience?
The neglect.
Yeah.
So the neglected to take care of a 14-year-old girl, like, emotionally, physically, totally, just pure neglect.
I'll rephrase the question. So when you experienced the neglect whilst you was at Good Shepherd Centre, what immediate effects did you experience from the neglect that you experienced? So did you experience any behaviour or school changes, any fear, shame, any sleeping problems, bedwetting, running away from
So I was always running away. I lived in constant fear.
Lived in constant fear.
Yeah, always anxious, always worried. I've always lived in fear.
Always anxious and always worried about what? Sorry.
I didn't even know what that fear was back then. Just a minute, darling. You're so clever. Can you just let me finish this phone call and then I'll get you? I'll not be long. Emotionally weak. I was always running away. Always trying to get away. It was really hard to run away for that. I was always afraid to see the alarm. I never knew whether I was coming, whether I was going. Sometimes I didn't even know what planet I was going to be. You could have. Like, even mentally, like, they had me on antidepressants because they were saying I was suicidal. Like, I wanted to die. I just didn't want to be alive anymore. I wanted to die in the case I was depressed and
no, I'm going at one.
I had all of this stuff.
Yeah, so I've just put so far that he was always running away, bedwetting, living in constant fear, always anxious. I didn't know what that feeling was back then, but now I know. It was really hard to run away, believe me, but I tried. I just never knew when I was coming or when I was going. I didn't know if I didn't know if I was on this planet sometimes. Even mentally, I was on antidepressants to deal with my mental health issues. So next, what we'll go on to, it's the same question, but it's in response to the emotional abuse that you experienced from your time there. So from your in your own personal account, what immediate effects did you experience following the emotional abuse that you was victim of? So it's the same question, it's the same like experience again, well sorry, the same effects again being like behavioural changes, any like running away, what was subsequently
My behaviour was off the scale. Yeah. My behaviour was off the scale. I didn't listen to anybody else. I thought it was me against the world, like this one basically a person against the actual whole wide world. I hated people, I hated life, I hated everything to do that. I'm just totally discontent for life.
Did you say discontent for life?
Mm-hmm. I'm angry at the world. I was angry at the system. I was angry at my mum. I was angry at everybody. See the people that was meant to protect me in life, not one of them did.
So I'm just gonna relay what I've wrote down from what you've said, and just let me know if there's anything missing or what you'd like me to change. So I just put my behaviour was off the scale. I didn't listen to anyone. I hated people. I hated life. I hated being there. I would try to run away. I had total discontent for life. I was angry at the world. I was angry with my mum. I was angry with myself, and I was angry with the people who were supposed to protect me in life, but they never did.
I was putting myself in vulnerable positions.
You was putting yourself in
positions. Because I was running away, I was putting myself in vulnerable positions to the point that I was getting sexually abused and just thinking it was all right to allow myself just to sleep with random people. Because that was all I was worth after all, wasn't it?
So I've just put that you was putting yourself in vulnerable positions to a point where you was getting sexually abused, and that you became accustomed to thinking that it was okay for random people to touch you. Is that correct? Okay.
Yeah.
So it's the same question again, but it's in regards to the physical abuse, Ashley. Can you recall what immediate effects you experienced upon being a victim of physical abuse?
I just was taking it like it was alright. It was normal. This is what happened in life. My mental health was horrible. My drug using was horrible.
And this is at the time.
Myself as a person was horrible.
for now it's just the final form of abuse which you experienced, which I will need to ask this question again, which is in relation to the sexual abuse. So Ashley, are you able to recall what immediate effects you experienced following being a victim of the sexual abuse?
I was failed by the services. I was failed by the social work.
You was what, sorry?
I was failed by the services. I was
you were sold? Sorry?
Failed by services. I was failed by social work. I was failed by the people that were meant to keep me safe. Put me into these places that was totally life changing when none of this stuff happened in my in-house anyway. They broke me. They broke me as a person.
Hold on 1 second. So just put that you was terrified of authority figures. They took me to places where horrible things happened to me, things that I would never have experienced if I was to be at home.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything else what you'd like to add in relation to how you? Is there anything else you'd like to add in relation to the immediate effects that you felt following being a victim of sexual abuse? Just 3 more questions now in relation to the care setting of Good Shepherd Sister Good Shepherd Centre. I'd like to just make a note real quick that you're doing incredibly well in this statement, Ashley, and I know how distressing and how difficult this may be to open up to somebody about it, but you've done an absolute brilliant job so far. So the other question would be, did anyone witness it, know about it, or experience something similar?
Probably the lassies that was in the home.
Did you ever try to tell anyone or try to get help?
No, because I believe that I've asked for help then.
Because
no, if I asked, I just would never have been believed. I've never spoken about this to anybody, anybody ever in my life. I've suffered kept myself for years and years. I was brought up in the 90s where I didn't tell anybody that was happening. It would have made it worse. But it happened, it didn't, when it was left, but it happened where it was left in there, so.
So I just pull. I just put no because I thought I would never have been believed. Hold on, let me just start with some punctuation and grammar. So I just put no because I thought I would never have been believed. It's stuff I kept to myself. I've never opened up about this, about any of this. I grew up in the 90s, so I learned to deal with it, thinking it was normal. But the final question is, what was different at this placement compared to the one with other, compared to the other placements you went to?
It ruined my life and changed me as a sort of person. It shaped me to be the person that I was to become.
Okay, so that concludes the care setting part of the witness statement. We're now just going to go into people involved reporting and institutional knowledge. This next part should only take about 20 minutes and then we'll have concluded the witness statement. So across all placements, who were the main people responsible?
Who were the main people? Services, staff, care home people.
Services, staff.
The system was responsible.
The system. I'm just going to go ahead and I'm going to add the names, excuse me, of whom you've able to provide from your experience of who were responsible for some of the abuse. I'm not going to do it right now whilst we're on the phone because I feel like it will just take too much time. Mm-hmm. But you will get a drafted copy of this witness statement. So anything which you believe is missing. So once you're in receipt of this witness statement, if you believe that everything that is laid out is within your own words and is an accurate, detailed account of your experience within CER, then it will be something what you'll be able to sign off and send back to us anyway. So in mm-hmm. that moment is when you could do it. So I've just got services, staff, care home people, and the system being responsible.
Yeah.
Were there any other children affected, and did you witness abuse or harm to anyone else?
Yeah. The girls, yeah.
The other girls.
Mm-hmm.
And what kind of abuse is it? What you witnessed? Was it neglect, physical, emotional?
Physical, emotional.
Why do you believe staff or the institution knew?
Pardon? Oh, they all knew because they were all doing it. They were all the same. It was a done thing back then, wasn't it? Let's just go. Oh. Get police punish you and then we'll restrain you. Like, it was a done thing.
It was a done thing?
It was a done thing. Like, that's what they done back then. Like,
yeah.
You didn't behave yourself. What we've got to do, we're going to restrain you. We try and get out of the building. What we've got to do, we're going to restrain you.
Were complaints discouraged, ignored, or punished?
Yeah.
When you say yeah, is that in relation to the discouragement, the ignorance? Yeah, the ignorance.
It was ignored because they were all doing it, so if one was doing it, they were all doing it, coming, so.
Have you ever reported the abuse to the police, an inquiry, a professional, or any authority about what happened?
No.
No. Okay.
You're the first person I've ever spoke to about.
That's perfectly fine. So the seventh, we're on to the movement between placements and leaving CER. Why did you move between placements, and were the reasons ever explained to you?
Because of the unruly, and I was that person. Because I wasn't looked at really as to what was really going on. I was just looked at like I was a few lassie that was just misbehaving, and the way she was, hey, didn't know there was more to it.
Just so I make sure that I've got this right, I just put because I was unruly and that I was a bad person because I wasn't looked at clearly, No, sorry, because it wasn't looked at clearly what was going on, the social work just saw me as a lass who was misbehaving and there was nothing more to it.
Mm-hmm.
The next question, Ashley, is did you run away, refuse to return or ask to be moved?
Mm-hmm.
What happened once you asked?
I was always on the way.
So they always just would return you back?
Aye.
So they'd always return you back or refuse mm-hmm. for you to move?
Yeah.
And then the final question in relation to movement between placements, when and at what age did you leave Kerr?
16.
And what was your circumstances following leaving Kerr?
So I was meant to return to my mum, and that was never going to happen. My relationship with my mum by that point was, she had let me down, she had failed me. Yeah, I had no relationship with my mum, and I went into, I lived with my cousin.
You went to live with your cousin?
Yeah.
Yeah?
And my drug use got off.
So what I got is I've got at 16 I was meant to return to my mum, but that was never going to happen as my relationship with her was gone. She failed me. I went to live with my cousin, then my drug use got worse.
Yep, pretty quite quickly. I meet a guy and I fall pregnant and I have my first baby. So that I kind of stopped using drugs first because my life's fucked.
And had your first baby?
17, I had my first baby.
So that concludes the movement between the placements of Kerr. So now we're going to go onto the impact of Kerr. So there's only the 7 questions in relation to this, and then after that we should fly through the witness statement and it will be done in the next 15 minutes. Mm-hmm. So the first question, Ashley, is how did the experience affect you at the time?
How did that affect me? I was 16-year-old, you asked me, absolutely nothing, absolutely need me, totally lost. To have absolutely nobody in the world that even wanted you or wanted you there. And it gave me trauma, that's what it gave me. It gave me this sense that I wasn't good enough, I wasn't worth it, that I was always going to be nothing. And I was always just going to take drugs.
That you wanted to take, that all you wanted was to take drugs, or all that you ever was going to do was take drugs?
That's all I was ever going to do. I wanted to die.
Okay.
I really, really wanted to die.
the next question. Ashley, is how has it affected your mental health, including anxiety, depression, trauma symptoms, panic, flashbacks, nightmares, self-harm, or suicidal thoughts?
I have them all. Yeah.
All of the above.
Yeah. And sometimes they're worse, and sometimes they're worse.
Sometimes it's worse than others.
Mm-hmm. Like, even suicidal. But I know I don't want to die, but some days it's like, that's the point. It'll cause me to fear trauma throughout my whole entire life. My mental health, PTSD, anxiety, depression. Drug addiction.
Hold on one moment. So let me know if there's anything that I've missed or if there's anything that you'd like me to reword in relation to how it's affected your mental health. I've just put all of the above. Sometimes it's worse and sometimes it's worse than other times. I won't commit suicide, but there are times that I think, what is the point? I have PTSD symptoms from my I have PTSD from my experience, severe anxiety and some depression. Is there anything else what you'd like to add, or is there anything that I've missed?
No.
No. Okay. And how has it affected your physical health, sleep, pain, alcohol or substance use? Sorry, could you say that again, please, Ashley? I do apologise.
Affected everything.
It affected everything.
My sleep, substance use. Although I'm nearly 5 years clean off heroin and crack cocaine. Yeah.
You've been 5 years clean now, did you say, off?
Just about, aye.
That's
5 years
at brilliant, yeah.
And I couldn't get a day because I just always wanted to numb that stuff. Because if I used them, I would be in an oblivion state and I wouldn't get these horrible flashbacks and these dreams and sleep. Tell me about sleep is, because I really didn't know. I think I thrive off of fear.
So this point, it affected everything, my sleep, my drug use. I've now been free of cocaine and heroin for 5 years. I'm going to change being free. I'm going to put, I've now been sober. I do apologise. Free of cocaine and heroin for 5 years. I will take these drugs to deal with my terrible dreams and nightmares. I will get I would take these drugs to deal with any terrible dreams and nightmares I would get from my experience through CUR. Is there anything that I've missed, or is there anything that you'd like to add? So the next question, Ashley, is how has it affected your relationships, parenting, friendships, your intimacy, trust, or isolation?
How has it affected it? I don't trust anybody. Hey, I couldn't be a parent. I wasn't showing what love was. I wasn't showing what caring was. I wasn't showing what compassion was. I had these wee three bits of things that I loved and adore my children, right? But I didn't know how to love my kids. To the point that I kept choosing drugs to the point that it came my kids off.
To a point of what, sorry?
They came my children off, yeah. Because I couldn't be a mum. I couldn't be a... It's a minute, darling. Wow. I'll smoke SpongeBob if you're well, okay? To the point that the team my children off me, but I couldn't be a mum. It made me terrified to ask anybody for help. I don't know what SpongeBob shoes look like. You do it.
It's for Candy Tower.
Wow.
Did you say that you felt terrified not being able to ask for help?
I can't do that. I don't know.
Mum, can I
do
that, Mum?
Can you do that? Can you try to do that? Then you come back and show me. No, the same ability for me to actually be a mum.
Yeah, I ended up getting that. It has affected me. I don't trust anybody. I wasn't showing any care, any love or compassion. I didn't know because of this.
No.
Because of this, I didn't know how to love my kids. But they took my kids off me. I lost my children, and they told me that I couldn't be a mum.
My only purpose in the world is to love my children and be a mum, and I couldn't be that mum to my kids.
And that's all you wanted to be in the world.
Yep. Wow. Go and draw me Patrick Star now.
No.
Oh, go draw me Gary the Snail then. Okay, you can draw me that.
So the next question, Ashley, is how has it affected education, work?
I've never got education. I've never watched. I want to watch, right? So, I've come into, so I go to recovery, right? And I learned that I've actually done nothing, and I'm this 41-year-old woman that no education, no got nothing, no qualifications, no direction in life, and where do I start? How do I do this stuff at my age?
Yeah.
Show that this wee baby that I've got, that that's what we do in life, and we don't just use drugs because my other children will use substances because of the trauma that I put onto them because of my trauma is me carried on to my kids. And I've got this other wee thing that's never seen me use, and I get to be her mum.
Oh, did you say this is like a support group? With these other women?
Yeah.
And the support group of women is those who have been in similar situations as yourself.
I do a 12-step fellowship.
Hmm.
I've got a cooking and on, and so I do a 12-step fellowship.
Ah, oh, right, okay.
Wow, don't draw me Patrick Star, man.
I don't
want to. Are there triggers, places, smells, authority figures, institutions, or situations that you avoid?
Yeah.
Could you provide me one example of any triggers or any situations that you avoid?
I kind of avoid places that are reduced to hang about.
You'd avoid small spaces.
Mm-hmm. Like, I don't really like to see closed doors. I like the door to be open. And see, if there's a closed door, it really, really triggers me. Like, it makes me. It's horrible. I hate a closed door.
Yeah.
I hate the point of being that the door's locked, that I don't even lock my front door. Like, I hate a locked door, it's just kind of cutting off. No.
The final question for the impact on your life. What impact has this had on your life overall? And what do you think may have been different if it had not happened?
It ruined my life. So it didn't happen to me, and I could have been this totally different person. really I'm not. I'm really losing my life.
So what I've put is that I ruined my life. If it didn't happen to me, I could have been this totally different person, but today I am not. It really ruined my life.
Yeah. It ruined relationships. It ruined everything in the world that I had. I had absolutely nothing. It turned me into a person that I didn't even think that I was ever meant to be.
So now we're on to support and treatment. So have you received counselling, therapy, mental health, any addiction support, GP, hospital or any other professional support?
Counselling, there's a massive waiting list for counselling. Psychiatrist, there's a massive waiting list for that. I'm in waiting list. I've been in trauma therapy. I know a day that there's a wait for it. Doctors. Medication.
So would you say that you've sought to seek the support, but all you currently are is on waiting list?
I'm on a 24-month waiting list.
Did you say 24 months?
24 months waiting list it is.
Wow.
Right, so I really need to get this stuff out, but I don't know how to.
Yeah.
And I don't need to learn how to deal with it.
Of course.
I don't know how to. I just know that I don't take drugs a day to deal with it.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's always better to try and find healthy alternatives, obviously for coping mechanisms. The only thing I can suggest in relation to your anxiety, if you do have any spur like funding for yourself, you can get stuff like weighted blankets, where it could be like a 20 kg blanket, essentially what you put over yourself, and supposedly like pressure is supposedly really good to deal with any form of like symptoms of anxiety, but obviously.
I had one of them. I heard that in there, she was
So just moving on to the next question, Ashley. Have you been diagnosed with any relevant condition, and have you taken any related medication?
Yes, chronic post-traumatic stress disorder, anxiety, depression.
Hold on.
There's a list.
Do you recall the medications you take as well for these?
I don't take medication.
For none of them, no?
I refuse to take medication. I used to take medication, but when I got clean, I just refuse to take medication because I think if I take this stuff, then I'm going to end up
back
on the gear. So
yeah.
I try different things. So what I do is I go up and play and I go out into the nature and go walks and I listen to music and I connect with nature, and I think that kind of works a bit.
Yeah, being out in nature is a very calming thing, especially when you're
in nature. I didn't want to be medicated. I'm just medicated my whole entire life.
Yeah.
I still suffer, but I do suffer better.
Of course.
I just think I don't believe that you need medication for all that stuff that some people do, but there's different ways.
Yeah. So I've got chronic PTSD, anxiety, depression, and then underneath I'm just going to put that obviously you used to take medication, however, obviously this is within your own words, but I used to take medication. However, when I became sober, I refused to take medication in fear that I would revert to my previous self.
Yeah.
Yeah. Before I move on to the next question, is there anything that I've missed or anything that you'd like to add?
No.
No? Okay. And then the final question is, are you receiving support now?
I don't have anybody for support. What I really have is a fellowship of people. Yeah. And they support me. You've got to kind of go through some stuff in life, eh? And we can bounce off each other. I've got good people in my, that's what I've got. I've still got a kind of fear of doctors and all of these stuff and asking for help because I've got fear they'll take my daughter off me. Like, I know that I'm the bestest mum of this girl in the world to get to be her mum, but I've still got these fears of saying, oh, wait a minute, maybe. Aye. Like, I was in Coatham the other week and I had a fear of saying, my daughter's really doing my reading. And I was struggling, and I thought, like, this is actually a single mum. Just trying to feel like, and it's all right to feel like that. And I felt horrible because I thought, ask for help and no social work in my life, not a chance. And I've got a wee woman in my life that she'll come into my life, she'll be a therapist. When I was pregnant with my wee girl, and she's still in my life today, and I get to go back to her work and volunteer with other mums and take a wee group in. So, see, for all my shit stuff in life, I still get to go and help other mums through my stuff.
Yeah.
Like, I shared my story, how I went through life, not my trauma, but how I went through life and got a couple of million pounds for this charity that I volunteer for.
Well, it's good that you're able to go there. And yeah, from what you have changed, your life has changed massively, and now you've got this, you've got your daughter in your life. Obviously, it means the world to you, and you know, it's something what you devote your time, resources, and attention to be the best mother you could possibly be. And you should commend yourself for that. A lot of people struggle in these situations, and I can't think of anyone who.
My girl saved my life. She really, really saved my life. My partner died. I was in an abusive relationship for years, and he died with alcohol, and I fell pregnant with this year last year, and she really, really saved my life. I've been like a year of this before. She's my reason to get up every single day, even more than I want to.
So in relation to this, I've just put that I'm afraid of seeing anyone in case they take my daughter off me. I know that I'm the best mother to her. However, I am also afraid they would take me away from her if I asked.
Yeah. So I've still got back to social work.
I apologize. Right.
There is a still massive fear of social work and services, and no, I didn't do them. I really just didn't do them. See, if I can avoid them, I'm going to avoid them.
Of course.
This is the first time in my whole life, I was 10, I was 37 or something, that I've never had a service involved in my life.
I'm just going to go back to where... the question of triggers and situations that you avoid. I'm just going to say that you try to avoid interactions with any social workers due to obviously your experience.
Yep.
So now it's just evidence and support and information. So what records may support the statement? Any care records, social work, school, medical, police, counselling, prison, probation, benefits, or other records?
Probably my care records, I think.
No worries. Are there records of injuries, running away, behaviour or school changes, any self-harm, substance use, complaints, moves or any family contact issues?
You would think there should be in my care issue in the future. I've not got a clue. I've actually not got a clue what's in it.
Are there letters, photographs, reports, inquiry evidence, apologies, decisions or previous correspondence?
There must be children's parents and social letters.
What did you say? No, did you say?
There must be doctor's reports and the social reports and stuff.
Yeah.
Okay.
Could any siblings, former residents, relatives, friends, partner or professional provide a supporting statement?
Social work, doctors, the law here, of course.
Are records missing or incomplete and has evidence bundle already been obtained?
Know. I've not seen any, I couldn't tell you.
And then with last couple of questions now, we're going to fly through these. It'll all be 5 minutes now, Ashley. So this is in relation to previous claims. Have you previously made any civil claims, criminal injuries claim, redress application, complaints, police report, inquiry statements or claim to any other scheme about this abuse?
No.
Fantastic. Did you receive any payment, apology, settlement or decision or sign any waivers / discharge?
No.
And then the reason for applying. So why are you applying to the Scottish Redress Scheme and what would you like to come from telling your story today?
That no, everybody has to suffer the stuff on their own.
Sorry, what was that, Ashley?
That no, everybody has to suffer the stuff on their own. It was fucking wrong. Entirely wrong. You didn't have to take the blame for it. I've taken the blame for all that stuff, for a whole entire life. And it was never my fault.
No, it was never my
fault. My goal in life is to help other mums and other women not to have to go through the same stuff as I did.
I'm going to relay this back to you because obviously this is something what you'd like to say to, like, this is something what you kind of address in the panel yourself. So I've just put that not everyone has to experience what I experienced. I blame myself all these years. However, I know that I'm not to blame. And then a further put that I wouldn't want any woman, any child or mother to go through what I did. Is there anything else what you'd like to add or anything that I've missed what you'd like me to state? And what would an acknowledgement mean to you, Ashley?
Pardon?
Pardon?
Saying sorry.
So what would an acknowledgement from the Scottish Redress mean to you?
That someone's
taken responsibility.
That my voice is good. Because it's never been here. My voice just came away from me, like, as a child. And I never had a voice again until I got sober. Do you know, I look at my wee daughter and think, I couldn't imagine her going through the life that I went through. Mother, daughter, really hard. Mother, daughter, she's really, really hard on me. The way that I feel it in her, and the way I was in the way, emotionally, physically, and her mental history, it's my fault. What are you looking for?
and looking for something in fairy pork and
there's no one in there.
A puppy!
Yeah.
A cat! Yeah. Oh, Mom, I need to have some food.
You can drink that. Mm. It's got a little choice in it. You can drink that.
And why does it say power? Why does those words say power?
So I'm just going to relay this back to you. As like I said, this is like the part what the Scottish is your way of communicating with the Scottish redress. Formally, so I just put that someone's taking responsibility for my voice is heard. I never had a voice as a child. I only ever got a voice once I got sober. I look at my daughter and I think of all the things that I've been through, and I couldn't imagine putting her or anyone else through that. I have always blame myself for what has happened to me. I have come to realize that it was never my fault. Is there anything that I've missed, or is there anything that you'd want me to add to that?
No.
Okay, and then finally, in relation to flying, is there anything else you want Scotland to understand about what happened or the harm that you have lived with?
No.
No? Okay. So now, Ashley, it's just a closing and welfare check before we end the call. So just wanted to ask, is there anything important that we haven't covered or any wording that you want handled correctly?
No.
No? I know this may sound like a silly question, but I've just tried to answer it as truthfully as possible, and we will try and help in any way, shape or form that we can. How are you feeling after discussing this, and do you feel safe to end the call?
It's a wee bit heavy, but we're going to go and phone the car and speak to her.
Are you going to call who and speak to them?
My friend.
Okay, that's fine. Is there anyone you can contact for support, or would you like me to contact any supporting services for you or provide you with the details?
No, it's okay. I'll send my friends.
And then the final question is, have the next steps been explained to you?
No.
No. Okay, so what I'll do is I'll go ahead and I'll explain these final steps to you now. And I'll make a note on the witness statement that obviously the steps were then explained to you. So what's going to happen now, Ashley, is that I'm going to go away for the rest of today, and I'm going to draft up your witness statement. So it's in a formal application. We're then going to find any records that can corroborate your statement today, that being any GP records, any child records that we've got as well. We'll be able to put that in at the end as an exhibit to show the Scottish Redress panel. Once we've fully drafted this statement, it's going to be sent over to you, and that'll be for you to just have a quick read of the statement, for you to sign to say that it is an accurate account and it is within fact the words what you have used, to detail your witness statement. And then once that has been returned to us, we will get you in for a WhatsApp video call, or maybe a Zooms or a Teams meeting call. All this is to do, Ashley, is just to prove your identity. So essentially you'll be in a call with our claims operations manager, which is Jay Taylor, and also the head solicitor within MMA Legal. All you'll need to do is just have your video camera on, just to show either like your passport or your driving license. Once that's done and we've confirmed the identity on the call, we will then be in a position where we can go and submit your application to Scottish Redress.
Yeah.
Following that, we're estimating to get a response within 8 to 12 weeks. Within that response, The panel will evaluate your application and also put in evidence what comes along with that application. They will provide you with obviously acknowledgement and the formal apology in regards to your care growing up in Scotland, mm-hmm. and then any compensation that they would deemed necessary and appropriate, they will obviously award you with that compensation also. And then from there, then your case with us essentially would be closed, and then hopefully you'll be able to at least try and continue on with your life with a farm.
And how long will that take? 12 weeks, did you just say?
So once it's submitted to the Redress Scotland, we're estimating an 8 to 12 weeks, but it's not a guarantee. But we're trying to hope within this month, if we submit yours by the end of this month, like at least by Christmas, you'd have a full response.
Okay.
Well, I just wanted to say thank you for obviously speaking with me today, and I appreciate how difficult this may have been for you, considering, as you say, you'd never opened up to anyone before. So I feel very honoured in a way where you're quite comfortable to speak to me about this situation, and I just wish you the very best within your future endeavours and within your life, and obviously I hope that things will start being a little bit more on the silver lining and more sunshine and rainbows from now on, and you're able to put this behind you. No problem, Ashley. Well, I hope you have a lovely day and enjoy the rest of your weekend, and we'll get in contact with you soon, okay?
Thank you.
No problem. Speak to you later, Ashley. Goodbye.